Most of you are aware that Fred and Diane's neighbor Lillian passed away, and there will be a service for her a week from yesterday, this coming Saturday, 10 o'clock in the morning at the Grace Church at about 45th and Wadsworth. It's on the west side of Wadsworth, about 45th. If you get that close, you can't miss it. Kind of right across the street from the big Lutheran church there. Okay, 10 o'clock, so if you would like to, if you're able to go, that would be a real encouragement. I did the math. This was our 41st annual Easter celebration service at 8 o'clock and delicious breakfast. 41st delicious breakfast. And there have been some great blessings, but I don't know that I have been any more blessed than I was by the service this morning. I just want to thank everyone who had a part in that service. Just you lifted our hearts up toward heaven. You focused on the Lord Jesus Christ with us and for us. And thank you for your ministry to us on behalf of the Lord. Let's bow before him. Father, on this special day that we have set aside to remember the resurrection of our Lord, we are so grateful for that, Father. Truly, without a resurrected Lord, we would have nothing. This would be the biggest waste of time. We would be totally without hope. Thank you, Father, that that's not the case, because Jesus is alive. Alive and well, seated at your right hand, interceding for us, preparing a place for us, ready to come back for us. Father, we long for that day. We long for that day. Until then, Father, I pray that you will work through us, through your Holy Spirit, to strengthen us so we might be faithful until that day. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. I would have preferred to bring a message to you that all stayed in one passage. I'm not going to be able to do that. That's not the message that hopefully the Lord led me to prepare. We're going to be looking at a lot of different verses this morning, and we're going to go quickly. I'm mindful of the time. I'm also mindful of the fact that you have full tummy shortened attention spans. I'm painfully aware of that, and I'll do my best to keep myself awake and see if we can help keep you awake too. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul begins giving his own testimony, and the verse breaks are not very intuitive here, because right in the middle of verse 4, Paul starts a new thought here. So if you would follow along with me, I'm going to read Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, and read through verse 11. Follow along with me, please. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to the righteousness which is found in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from faith, from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is giving his own personal testimony here, and in the early verses, verse 4, 5, and 6, he's talking about all of the things that he would have that if he was going to brag about, if he was going to boast about, these would be the things that would be to his credit. These would be the things, if you will, that If he were to stand before God and God would say to you, Paul, why should I let you into my heaven? These would have been the things he would have listed. He was of the right nationality, the right family, the right religion, the right sect within the religion. He had the right zeal. He had all the right stuff, the right ritual. He had all the right stuff. And he says he counts those things that would have been on in his favor, he counts those things but loss. In fact, he counts them as rubbish. Rubbish. Those things that he would have argued with God, this is why you should let me into your heaven. He says, you know, when I look at those things from God's perspective, it is garbage. Just garbage. He echoes the word of the prophet Isaiah, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there's one message, beloved. And that message is, you can't do it yourself. You take all of the best things that you can try to do to try to please God, to make him accept you. And when he sees those things, and when you see them from his perspective, you say, that's just so much pile of rubbish. Some people have a bigger pile of rubbish than others, but it's rubbish nonetheless. And the contrast is the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Those are the two alternatives. You can either argue for your benefits and the things that you've got going for you, or you can accept the righteousness that God offers simply that you receive by faith, just by believing. Paul said, here's all of my stuff. It's rubbish. Here's my choice. I'm going to accept Christ by faith. And you know what? You and I have to make exactly that same choice. You and I have to decide, are we going to try to get there on our own? Are we going to argue with God about why he ought to let us into heaven based on how good we are, how much works we've done, the religious practices we've engaged in? Or are we going to simply receive eternal life as a gift by faith? That's the choice. Paul had made that choice, and if you haven't, why in the world would you consider to trust the rubbish? Don't trust the rubbish. Throw it out. That's what you do with rubbish. And simply come to Christ by faith. If you've never done that, and you're not sure what all I'm talking about, don't leave here without coming and talking to me and having me explain it to you. Not what Fellowship Bible Church believes, but what God says in his word. How you can get rid of the rubbish and receive eternal life as a free gift by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul says, having made that decision, this is the alternative. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What I want to look at this morning is, what does that involve? When Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection, that he says is so much better than all this rubbish, what is that? What is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the Apostle Paul? Or, more importantly, what is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for you and me today? What is the power of his resurrection? We're going to have to look at a lot of other verses in Scripture in order to get a picture of this. So I'm going to ask you to turn to most of these passages with me. Some of them are going to just, it'll be up on the screen. You can make a note, and we're going to move right on. But there are some of the points that especially I want you to look at with me. And I want you first to go with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Some of you are thinking, I knew he'd wind up in Romans before the morning was over. Romans chapter 1. Start with me in verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets and holy scriptures, concerning his Son. This gospel that was promised in the Old Testament is concerning his Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. The power of his resurrection, I suggest to you the first aspect of the power of his resurrection is the power of a proclaimed sonship. The power of a proclaimed sonship. Now you might be thinking, what does that mean? What it means is Jesus came and he claimed to be the Son of God. He addressed God as my Father, not our Father, the way the rest of the Jews did. He claimed that he had a special, unique relationship with God. And so he addressed God as my Father. And when he did, the Jews picked up stones to stone him to death because they recognized he was claiming equality with God by calling God his own Father. You have to make a decision whether that was true or not. Whether he was really the Son of God or not. Some people today think, oh yeah, Jesus, he was a great moral teacher. We respect him very much. I suggest to you, he doesn't leave that option to you. Other people say, well, yeah, he was a great martyr. I mean, he died for what he believed. What a great example to us. I suggest to you, he doesn't leave that option to you either. He claimed to be the Son of God. If he wasn't, then he wasn't a great moral teacher. He wasn't a wonderful example and martyr. He was a fraud. He was a fraud if he wasn't truly the Son of God. And how do we know he was? Well, Paul says he was declared with power to be the Son of God. How? Through the resurrection. You want proof of who Jesus is? Look at the empty tomb. Look at the empty tomb. The leaders of every other religion of the world are still in their graves. Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead, like he promised he would. That's a pretty daring thing to say, you realize? To promise you're going to rise from the dead, because he said it would be after 3 days. So guess what? 4 days after he dies, everybody in the world has the opportunity to know whether he's a fraud or the Son of God. And guess what? He was declared with power to be the Son of God through the resurrection. None of this great moral teacher, wonderful martyr example garbage. He's either the Son of God or he's a liar and a fraud. There's no middle ground. You either accept him as who he was, but please don't patronize him saying he was a great moral teacher. He was declared with power to be the Son of God. So the power of Jesus' resurrection is first and foremost the power of a declared sonship. Jesus proved who he was by not only raising from the dead, but having prophesied it. We read that this morning. Early in his ministry, after the cleansing of the temple, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and 3 days later I'll raise it up again." And the disciples understood later he was talking about the temple of his body. If he didn't do that, if he didn't really rise, dismiss him. Go home. You're wasting your time here this morning. But if he really did rise from the dead, then he is the Son of God, and you've got to deal with him. You've got business with him. The power of Jesus' resurrection is, first of all, the power of a proclaimed sonship. Go to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. First Corinthians chapter 15. Carol was reading some of these verses earlier. Start with me in verse 12. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, your faith also is vain. Here's the thing, beloved. Jesus does not allow you the luxury of these other opinions of him. Great moral teacher, wonderful martyr, great example. If he didn't rise from the dead, you're wasting your time. You have put your faith in a vapor that won't support you. It won't stand up. And you are to be pitied. Verse 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. But now, okay, those of you who Fellowship Bible Church, remember I've mentioned how many times you need to look for the but nows in Scripture. But now, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Power over physical death. Jesus raised himself because he's greater than death. Go to Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Hebrews chapter 2, the writer is trying to demonstrate why Jesus came and was human. He didn't die for angels. He didn't become an angel to redeem angels. He became human to redeem humans. And I want you to see what Jesus also did. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise himself also partook of the same, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus conquered the one who has the power of death. Jesus has power over the one who had the power of death, over Satan. Satan was in charge of the world. Satan was the one who had the power of death, and Jesus conquered him. He conquered him by dying, but even more, he conquered him by rising from the dead. You see, Satan could kill the physical body of Jesus. He could kill the man Jesus. But there was something he couldn't do. He couldn't keep him dead. He couldn't keep him dead. How are you going to have victory over an enemy when you kill him and he just comes back? Jesus rose from the dead to demonstrate he's got the power over him who had the power of death before. Jesus took that power away from Satan. And now as a result, look at verse 15. And might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. The power of the resurrection of Jesus is power over the fear of death for you and me. Death needs not be a fearful thing for us. Often people are afraid of death because they don't know what happens after that. They don't know what's coming. They don't know what the afterlife holds. But I believe God has hardwired into humanity the understanding there is an afterlife. This life isn't all that there is. Shakespeare put into the words of Hamlet in his great soliloquy in that play, wondering what's going to happen after we die. When the soul hath shuffled off this mortal toil, that must give us pause. In other words, we better stop and think what we're doing because we might die. And what happens after that? We don't know. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we can know. Jesus has promised, because I live, you shall live also. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God has delivered us from the fear of death. I'm not saying that you might not have some qualms about the actual experience of death itself. But we know what follows. Death is not the end. Death is just a transition. And we know what follows in eternity because Jesus rose. We don't need to be afraid of death anymore. Death sets us free from this decaying, sin-cursed mortal body. And in that sense, beloved, death is a relief. Don't be afraid. Jesus has gone before us and he's waiting there for you. He's waiting to welcome you. Remember the vision Stephen had? Acts chapter 7, who's being stoned to death because of his testimony of Jesus. And he saw in his vision Jesus standing, I believe in honor, to receive the first Christian martyr. Stephen wasn't afraid of death. He knew his Lord was waiting for him when he got through that passageway. Doesn't that take the fear of it away? We know what the future holds. The power of his resurrection is the power to take away the fear of death from you and me. But not only is there power over physical death, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 starts out, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." Wow, isn't that encouraging? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them too we all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You know what it's describing? The garbage we talked about back in the first scene, Philippians chapter 3, the garbage. Our lives were characterized by garbage. And we were dead spiritually. We were dead spiritually. But if you never underline the next two words in your Bible, do it now. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. You see, the resurrection power of Christ, the power of his resurrection, is not only the power over the fear of death, not only the power over physical death, but it's resurrection power over spiritual death as well. And that's the power that we need if we're going to stand before Christ as our Savior rather than stand before him as our judge. We need to be made alive because we're dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he has the power over spiritual death. He is able to offer resurrection life to you and me. But he will not force it on you. He offers it as a free gift. But you have to individually make the decision by faith to receive it. John said in John chapter 1, "But to as many as receive him, to them he gave authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." So that comes back to that crucial question again. Have you received him? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you believed in what he did for you when he died on the cross to pay for your sins and be raised again? Have you received him? If you haven't, you're still spiritually dead. I'm not saying that to be mean or judgmental. I'm saying that because to tell you anything different would be less than loving. It is not the loving thing to do to tell somebody who is dying with a dreaded disease, "Oh, you're fine." The loving thing to do is say, "You know what? You have a critical problem. You are dying with a dreaded disease. But here's the cure. If you'll simply trust Christ, here's the cure. On the basis of the Word of God, I offer you the cure today. The cure to spiritual death. And his name is Jesus. The risen Jesus, who is willing and powerful and able to offer you eternal life. Life from the dead spiritually. If you'll simply receive him. If you'll simply receive him. Power over the fear of death. Power over spiritual death. Power over the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace. Man, there are people in this world who are looking for peace in every other way they can find it. And the Bible says there's peace available through the resurrected Lord. But that's the only way it's available. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God." Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation." Let that sink in. Think about the freeing truth that in Christ there's no condemnation anymore. All of that garbage, all of the sin you've ever committed, completely taken care of by Christ's death and resurrection. That's the power of his resurrection. The power over the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus went to the cross to pay that penalty for you. He died to offer you new life. Life from the dead, literally, spiritually, life from the dead. And he offers it as a free gift. Power over the penalty of sin. But look at Romans 6 with me. Because not only is there power over the penalty of sin, but there's power over the power of sin. Romans 6 verse 4, talking about spirit baptism, not water baptism. Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, implicitly, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, you can be raised from the dead too, spiritually. You can have spiritual life from the dead. Through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. All of your life until the time when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're a slave to sin. Oh, come on, Dave, I'm not that bad. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I was too, till Jesus saved me. There are two words in the Greek for new. One means new as opposed to earlier. It's a time word. Okay, I'm going to go get a new car. It's not going to look old and junky like my old cars. But it's going to have four tires and it's going to have an engine. It's going to be the same kind of thing, only it's new. That's not the word he used here. There's another word for new that doesn't mean new in time. It means new in kind. Something totally different. A brand new kind of life. That's what Jesus offers you. A new kind of life. Through his resurrection, you can have a different quality of life. Life can have meaning for you. Life can have sense and purpose like you have never had before. Through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. From the power that he has to make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Have you ever been made new? By faith in Jesus Christ. It is a life-changing, life-altering experience. Weeks ago, on our request, we sang, what a difference he's made in my life. What a difference he's made in my life. I hesitate to think what my life would be like today if Jesus hadn't saved me. I know what my childhood was like. I know what my family was like growing up. I know what logically what that would have produced in me. I'm so glad that Jesus saved me out of that and gave me new life. He gives me a new quality of life. Power over the power of sin. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see again the connection with the resurrection. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Do you know that? Have you received that? Are you experiencing that born againness to a living hope? That living hope that makes all of the frustration and problems of this life tolerable? Have you received that new life to a living hope? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. People are dying today because they don't have hope. Jesus came into the world and died for you and rose again specifically so you could have hope in this life. So you could have hope. Say, I'm tired, Pastor Dave. I'm tired of the way my life is going. I'm tired of the way the world is going. Nothing changes. I'm tired. Maybe it's because you don't know the resurrection power of Jesus. Maybe you've never received him as your personal Savior and allowed him to transform your life by the power of his resurrection to save you to a living hope. Look at how Peter described this in his second letter. Just turn a couple pages, 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 2 and 3. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. All things pertaining to life and godliness. Do you wonder why you're having so much trouble? You're trying to live a good life, you're trying to make things better, and just doesn't ever get better? Maybe it's because you're trying to make things better in your life without the resurrection power of Christ to help you. And I'm here to tell you, you are going to continue to be frustrated if that's what you're going to try to do. Apart from the resurrection power of Christ, you're going to continue to live a defeated, frustrated, sad life. That Jesus said, I come into the world to give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. That more abundant life by the resurrection power of Jesus. That life that has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You feel like you're a rat in a cage running in that spinning wheel, and you run and you run and you run and you never get anywhere? Get off the wheel and get out of the cage by receiving the freedom that Jesus offers through the power of his resurrection. He will make you new. He will make you new. Power to be born again to a living hope and a godly life. Because of that, then, you can have power over temptation. We won't take time to turn to it. Jot it down if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. Why? Because by his resurrection power, he has conquered the power of sin. You are not a slave to sin anymore, beloved, if you have received Christ as your Savior. You're free to serve him. You still have to make the choice to do it, but now you have the option. Now you have the power. Now you have the opportunity to do what you couldn't do before. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15 with me. First Corinthians chapter 15. Is your life meaningless? Is your life powerless? Do you constantly live a life of defeat, discouragement, frustration? Let me offer you the power of his resurrection. The end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pick up with me, beginning in verse 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the conclusion to Paul's long chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, proving and demonstrating and validating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what's the conclusion of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know your labor's not in vain in him. Why is your labor not in vain? Because Jesus rose from the dead and he promises resurrection power to us as well. You want to have meaning for your life? You want to have purpose? You want to have a sense of victory? You will not have that without Christ and the power of his resurrection. If you know Christ as your Savior, are you living it? Are you walking in fellowship with him so the power of his resurrection can be active in your life? But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and what I'm suggesting to you sounds too good to be true, let me guarantee you by the promise of God, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor's not in vain in him. Your labor's not in vain in him because he's alive. Because he's alive. And that power of his resurrection is available to you and me to live a resurrection kind of life through the power of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, all this garbage, throw it out, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I pray that you know him this morning. Let's bow before him. Before I close in prayer, I just like to offer that invitation clearly and personally. If you're here this morning and you're not experiencing that meaningful, victorious life because you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I won't embarrass you or single you out in any way, but I'd like to be able to pray for you in the coming weeks. So if you right now are saying, Pastor Dave, right now I receive Jesus as my personal Savior, nobody else looking around, would you just slip your hand up that I might pray for you? Thank you. Anyone else? Maybe you're here this morning and you know Christ as your Savior, but you've gotten out of fellowship with him. And because of your sin, because you're following the ways of the world instead of walking with him, you're not enjoying that victorious, joyful, fruitful life either. If it's your testimony that there's something in your life you know that needs to change, you'd like me to pray for you. Again, I won't single you out or embarrass you in any way, but I'd like to pray for you. If that's an issue with you, if you just slip your hand up, that I might pray for you. Anyone? There's sin in my life. I know it. I'm not experiencing that life. Father, we come to you this afternoon now and just thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for this great morning of celebration of his resurrection that we've had in fellowship with one another. And as we've spent time in your word, Father, your word is truth. And through your word, we can know that by the power of Christ and his resurrection, we can have freedom from the fear of death. We can have power over sin. We can have a victorious, meaningful life. Father, I pray that everyone leaving here will leave experiencing and knowing the power of his resurrection to live a different life. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know that personally, Father, I pray that you won't let them leave, that you'll nag them until they come and accept Christ as Savior. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May you leave here